The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it. Friday's here at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. Hope you're well. Good weekend in store. Masters, Husker baseball. Tremendous weather in the state of Nebraska. And so tip one back for that. Numbers to get in at 489-1240, 489-1240. Toll free, 800-825-5865 across the Hail Varsity Radio Network. Can email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com, and always watch us on the stream, Chris at Hail, the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Subscribe and like that, and give us a follow on Twitter as well, at HVarsityRadio. Busy show. We'll talk some Nebraska roster thoughts with basketball. Jacob Padilla with us in 15 minutes. The dream roster looks like what? If you're a Nebraska basketball fan, with the portal being what it is, we'll get there with Jacob. Some thoughts in the recruiting world. Tim Verghese with Nebraska Rivals joins us in hour two. Pride of Fairbury back. Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, the professor. And Klausburn, he's imaginary. He wears red. He'll have a thought on the Masters and a thought probably on the juice. We'll get to our starting five, our roll call coming up. Busy weekend, yes. Enjoyable weekend for sure. And the agenda is what? Keep an eye out for what happens with Nebraska's first real scrimmage tomorrow. That's important. How are things looking at Augusta? Big. What's Nebraska do at Rutgers for baseball? All those things we tend to check off. But I know you're geared up for UFC tomorrow night. Connor, you're doing what? Enjoying your last weekend of freedom?
Pretty much.
Maybe last two weekends of freedom.
Well, next weekend I'm out of here. I'm taking Friday and Monday off, so he's gonna be filling in for me. So it could technically be the last weekend of freedom for Connor. Do you want to work a Saturday show next week, or should I check in from Colorado?
It's up to you, dude.
I'll check in
from on Colorado. Air on the spot always with what Elijah Herbel.
Well, I realized we'd never talked about this.
We talked about the Friday and the Monday, but we didn't talk about the Saturday. And I didn't really realize that.
I'll probably do it from Colorado. Oh, okay. Let's keep things easy.
Let's pray that you make it. Because is the show Saturday night or Friday night?
Saturday night.
Okay, so you're going to be of clear mind and body Saturday morning at 6:45-ish.
I would hope so. We have an Airbnb. We're taking two cars out there. So it's me and my roommate. They're going to try to kill like 6 hours on Friday before our other buddies make it out to the Airbnb.
Lots of ways to do that.
There is a casino nearby, which is worrisome. On the flip side of things, I may go try to find the spot of the original Boulder Peace Treaty and put a plaque down or something like that.
Really? You're going to get
at least go take a picture.
You're going to get to the Hilton Garden?
Yeah, the Hilton Garden.
In Boulder.
In Boulder.
You're going to do a commemorative?
On this spot.
Here's where the atomic bomb was tested. Here's where World War II was, you know, signed, and you know, here's a surrender for Japan.
And here on September 2nd, 2023, peace was struck between Nebraskans and Coloradans.
Actually,
part of the Boulder Peace Treaty.
Peace was struck between Nebraskans and staff at a hotel in Boulder, Colorado. Yeah. The bartending staff between Nebraskans.
I
love that.
I'm going to need to talk to the hotel staff and see what we can do, or maybe just take a picture with the salute to the Snitleys. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's pretty good. If you do that, you need to get a picture. Are you going to get like a plaque? Are you going to do like a nameplate? What are you going to do? Or are you just going to take a picture?
It could just be a piece of printer paper with my scrawl on it.
It says, it happened here. We got to get a game out in Boulder again.
We'll see.
You know what I mean?
Well, I have a cousin that attends CU. It's a freshman year, and I have...
Which freshman year? I had a cousin that attended CU as well.
True first freshman year. True first freshman year. I need to go out and stop. I have an old Colorado crew neck. That was my grandpa's. That's somewhere deep in my closet. I don't think she listens to this show, so it's not going to ruin the surprise. So I'm just going to, like, call her on a Friday in Boulder and say, hey, where are you? I have a Christmas present for you.
Who is this? Yeah. Oh, it's Cousin Elijah.
So that's the plan, and then go commemorate the Boulder Peace Treaty, and then we'll see what happens the rest of the night. I should be good to go on Saturday morning, though.
Aside from the game, that was a good time.
That was a really good time.
Yeah. I'm so excited to get the text from Elijah at 1 a.m. that Friday night.
Dude,
hey.
Right into the Snitleys in Boulder.
I have no way to get back to Denver. I'm screwed. Can you do this?
You going to hit Estes? Yes.
No, probably not. We'll see. We do want to hit the Rockies game on Sunday.
Okay.
Go see a Rockies loss in all likelihood.
It's a good time.
It's a good time. That's a possibility.
It's a day at the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. I think Saturday is going to be the day of true day drinking.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through this before. I'm not sure the older audience would understand what I'm saying, but this concert in Denver at Red Rocks is on 420. If you follow what I'm saying here.
Right.
So I think we need to turn to the drinking side of things because it's not a case of when in Denver do as the Coloradans do.
When in Rome.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a case of I'm going to enjoy a concert. I want to enjoy a concert.
Yeah, you should.
So we'll see how that goes. But Saturday morning, I think I'm good to go. That was a lot of wasted time for a trip that's still a week away.
Well,
that's okay.
Hey, yeah, we're all living vicariously. Elijah's getting a weekend off, and he's going to the Rocky Mountains.
But this weekend, I got to prep myself up. I'm not going to name any names, but I am umpiring a notable...
I was going to say, are you on the diamond?
A notable baseball rivalry here within the city of Lincoln. So I got to get myself geared up for that. Hopefully it doesn't go too long. I'm in a little bit of power there. I don't think I'm going to exert that power to make the games go quick, considering there is UFC tomorrow.
And there's our 18th pitch clock violation of the afternoon.
I will umpire fairly. It is a pretty fun and intense rivalry, so I'll be doing that. And then UFC Masters, this should be a good weekend. A lot of sports, a lot of beautiful weather.
I'm golfing tomorrow with Iowa Russ, excited about it. Iowa Russ does send an email in, and there is the picture of you in Scottsdale doing the shot of sake.
Oh, no.
I forgot people still knew about that.
It's an igloo cooler. I'm holding it up for you. I'm holding it up for our stream audience.
That just will not die, will it?
It won't.
Yeah.
So Iowa Russ is requesting more of this type of content from you on socials.
It should be noted, that was on a Friday night whenever we were planning to have the Saturday morning off. So that was not Elijah Herbel for staking his responsibilities.
That was a New Year's trip,
and texting
right?
Connor. Yeah, that was the New Year's trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, mistakes were made.
Fun was had.
Mistakes were made. Sake was consumed.
Good for you. Hey,
and the year was new.
Uh-huh. It was. And
this is not a great way. Not a great way to chime in the new year whenever you check Twitter and there's just a video of you.
How did that happen? Who took my phone?
That was the question until I realized the only person that had both that video and the login to the Twitter was myself. And you go, I don't know what happened to you.
Yeah, don't
remember. Connect the dots.
It happened.
You connect the dots, and the dots would tell you that at some point in the early morning hours in Scottsdale, I tweeted that out. But you never know. Maybe it was somebody else. I'll pass the buck.
You were just trying to send it to somebody, and you hit send instead.
I still don't know.
Right. Let's get to the starting five. Our shout-outs here on StreamYard. Again, like and subscribe. Hail Varsity. YouTube channel, Jeff is in, Justin checks in, Brian is in at third, now back to work. Hey, whatever, Brian, works for you, man. Thanks for checking in. Patrick is here. Jeff Snitley in at five. So he makes the starting five. Tuck checks in. Dion is here. NASCAR Eric says happy Friday. KG says what's up. I don't want to get all geopolitical here, but there's bigger forces that are keeping me from being first. That's all I'm going to say. KG, you just keep on, as they say, chopping wood. Weston is here. Walter from Philly is in. Anonymous, let's say that the Super Bowl 65 quarterback matchup is Dylan Raiola versus Danny Kalen. Who would you root for?
Today on Hail Varsity Radio. Yeah.
The hypothetical.
The hypothetical of all hypotheticals.
Anonymous, it's all right. Good suggestion.
Well,
good poll.
Let's say to get to the Super Bowl, Dylan Raiola has to beat Heinrich Harburg. And on the other side, you have Daniel Kalen and Luke Longvall.
Adrian Martinez.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
We're going with Adrian here.
After the USFL run, he gets himself a shot in NFL roster, turns himself into an NFC title caliber quarterback.
Well, listen, I don't know. It just depends who they play for is the answer I'm going to give. But on the topic of quarterbacks, had a chance to see Adam Rittenberg yesterday, and he had a chance to catch up with head coach Matt Rhule. And a story got published here yesterday at 6-ish or so. But, you know, Matt Rhule's got a rule to follow that he learned in the NFL. And he talks about it. It was from Marty Harney, a GM in the NFL. Treat them like fourth rounders. And you kind of go, okay, what do you mean by that? There are some guys that are first rounders that get extra leash, right? That, all right, here's the investment, here's the draft pick, here's my legacy stamp on taking this franchise quarterback in the NFL. And they don't always work out. Where you're patted on the back is if you go get a Russell Wilson in the third round, or God forbid you strike gold with a Tom Brady in the seventh round. It's a wow factor where, wow, look at that NFL brain. Look at that guy see all the angles and be right with kind of a diamond in the rough. You get a lot of credit for the diamonds in the rough. But when it comes to the fourth round treatment, you get ticked off if your first rounder, as the anecdote goes, is playing like a fourth rounder. You get real excited if your free agent, that was an undrafted guy, is playing like a fourth rounder. Man, look at me. Look at me. Look at Brock Purdy. But the moral of the story here is you coach them all the same, and you don't worry about how they got here.
And I think
that's a good take.
The fourth round is like it's an interesting comparison I never thought of, but as soon as you hear it, you go, that makes a lot of sense. Because how do you treat a fourth rounder like they have a roster spot, but they're not the anointed one? Like a quarterback in the
somebody
fourth
that's
round,
still on the fringe.
A quarterback in the fourth round is so different than a quarterback in the first round or in the top 10. A quarterback in the top 10, that's your guy that you're expecting to start beginning their rookie season. You know, like you're going to train them all through spring and summer. There is the thought in the media, among the fans, and even within the team that, hey, we didn't draft this guy in the top 10 to sit him on the bench. He is going to be the starter. Whereas a fourth round guy, you're going to take that first rookie mini camp and training camp and that entire summer, really, to get this guy ready to play, ready to compete. A fourth-round quarterback. Think about Dak Prescott when he came into the league. I think he was a literal fourth-rounder.
Yeah.
Is how did Dak Prescott win that job? Well, he came in and he was, I believe, third on the depth chart to start training camp. He had some impressive performances during training camp and during preseason games.
Sorry, not to go off the rails.
No, that's a good question. I mean,
wasn't he still behind Romo?
It was Romo and who else?
Yeah, because Romo got hurt. He ended up starting and keeping the job, right? And
yeah.
Tony was a super high-level professional to groom him.
Yeah.
So, but you think about how they treated that. Like, Dak was not brought in to be the starter. Dak became the starter because through the course of training camp, through the course of preseason and early in the season, you look at that guy and you go, we don't have a guy who's better than this. This is the guy that's going to give us the best chance to go win football games. And that's how Nebraska should treat this current quarterback race. Yeah, you have the guy that had all these accolades coming into it, but at the end of the day, this time of year is for training them up, getting them ready to be under center game one if that's what it comes down
to. Treat the five-star like a three-star.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And you know what? The cream will rise to the top come fall. It's about development and then competition in the fall, and that's how you treat a fourth-round quarterback. You want to develop them up. You want to get them ready for that first training camp, and when training camp rolls around, you treat them just like everybody else. The cream rises to the
top.
Well,
can you groom that talent?
Right.
Because you obviously have some talent to get in the door, and you invest in him all the same. You don't spend more time because somebody's a first-rounder or a five-star. You want to do what's best for your team. And in this story, and I invite you to read it if you haven't, from Adam Rittenberg, senior writer with ESPN, and it's mainly about the quarterbacks as Rhule goes into Raiola's unique arm talent, and he goes in to talk about that pocket presence as young as he is, how he's able to move and extend and just kind of sit there, and the toughness factor where he's able to stay in and take a hit under pressure and deliver a really good ball. He talks about Danny Kalen, just how quick he's able to process and how he releases the football, just really quick release. They love Harburg and his toughness and how he's come far throwing the football, but the dual threat ability. So really nice piece there. And the job being, right, as there is no separation, he said that the last time he talked, he didn't get into much separation decision, although that you do want it at that quarterback spot, who kind of takes off and takes the reins for the job. But push him, guide him, and get him into a comfortable spot with the leadership aspect. But he doesn't want a Raiola to put pressure on himself because, dude, I'm a five-star, I'm a legacy, I'm in here.
I think it's more of like a humbling aspect, rather, because like when you say treats a five-star like a three-star, that's not negative. That's just saying, hey, you're on a level playing field here.
Sure.
It's not like you're less than you are.
You hope the best will play.
You're not anointing him. You understand that. Yeah. A five-star needs development the same way a three-star needs development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good. You have an in-state kid. Don't put extra pressure on yourself because you're the in-state kid that came in. You love what Kalen's all about from a competition standpoint. And don't put a ton of pressure on yourself if you're Harburg, man. You're pretty young in your quarterback development. So good story there from Rittenberg with Rule.
A quick note here, the Cowboys' backup quarterback entering training camp in 2016, Mark Sanchez.
Ah!
Tony Romo, Mark Sanchez, Dak Prescott.
Then he went to the booth.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time on a Friday. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Cotter Clark. Walter from Philly is asking the question we all want to know, and I don't own a drone, but who's sending a drone to record the scrimmage tomorrow? We all want to watch. Elijah, Connor, do you have a drone?
I don't have a drone nor a license to have a drone.
Oh, that's true.
I have a friend who has both a drone and a license to have
a drone.
That being said, he has recently moved to Phoenix.
Ah, so that's a no. So Jacob Padilla is with us from Hail Varsity and Herd At Sports. Jacob, no drone for you, or are you a drone guy?
Or do you have any secret spots, maybe at top of a parking garage, top of the Capitol, where you can see practice?
I don't have a drone, but Kyle Byers does.
Ah.
Ooh, Kyle from Herd At. That could help us out. Is Kyle willing to get arrested for us?
He brought one down to Tampa with us for the volleyball trip and got some shots off it for part of the video. So.
Cool.
Check it out.
Well, we got to put the old bat signal out for Kyle and then never see him at practice again.
He's in federal prison.
He's in federal college football prison. Jacob, good to spend a few minutes with you, and I want to get your thoughts. We'll get to Nebraska and you know, rounding out the roster for Fred. But just as a basketball guy that covers both in-state programs and has your finger on the pulse of the world of college basketball, what's your take on just Kentucky? And I ask that because Kentucky lost Cal. He went to Arkansas. Kentucky's a blue blood. It's a lot of parallels between Nebraska and Kentucky from a fan base standpoint. And, you know, they swung and missed at a lot of choices after Cal, and they settled on BYU's coach, which I'm not knocking. I think the guy's all right, but he's never won a tournament game. How did you process this whole week of the Cal, the Arkansas, the Kentucky thing? I want your basketball perspective.
It's kind of an interesting point in college basketball, just the way that everything's playing out right now. First off, just with the kind of the aging out of the longtime, like the biggest names in the sport, with Roy Williams and Coach K and Jay Wright kind of taking himself out early, like a lot of the biggest names are stepping out. And so those are kind of the names you turn to. It's interesting that North Carolina and Duke both chose to go in-house mm-hmm. as opposed to big name hunting and just promoting from within. Because those are the school, the bluest of blue bloods. You think, well, if anybody can hire whoever they want, it would be those two. And they didn't even attempt to chase anybody. They just went with their in-house guy. And now we see another of those blue bloods did kind of big name chase and wasn't able to get any of them. All the guys decided they're comfortable where they're at, and part of that I think is the money is good enough now at their places, and they're always going to get raises when these kind of openings happen. But it's to the point where the money's good enough that you can consider everything else and kind of factor in, all right, am I comfortable where I'm at? Do I have the ability to kind of accomplish my goals here? And obviously that's true for Dan Hurley at UConn, mm-hmm. considering he just won back-to-back national titles. And so that's one that struck out on in some of the others here. So it is interesting just kind of the way that we've seen this hiring go. Louisville obviously didn't kind of had some struggles, missed out on some of their top targets, end up good coach at Pat Kelsey, but not necessarily one of the biggest names in sport by any means. And then Mark Pope, who it is kind of an awkward situation because he is one of their own. Mm-hmm. We saw Rick Pitino kind of put out the video in support of him because I don't think the hire went over well with a lot of fans because
no, it didn't.
hasn't won a tournament game. Honestly, like his X's and O's at this point, like his offense was better than Calipari's. So from that standpoint, like he's an upgrade in at least one part of the coaching, at least where Calipari is at this point in modern basketball. It's just a matter of can he go out and get dudes that you need to get at Kentucky that they're used to getting. So it's just kind of fascinating with so much changing in college sports right now with all the conference upheaval, with NIL and everything going on. It's just, I don't know, we've got a while here before I think things settle down and maybe kind of figure some things out. So right now it's just kind of all chaos in all forms, all levels of college sports.
Jacob Bedil is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Jacob, this isn't a question. It's just one thing I noticed yesterday, didn't know before. Mark Pope, born in Omaha, Nebraska. Do you know that?
Yeah. I did see that from a couple people yesterday. I did not realize it before yesterday, but I had heard it. So, yeah, now I guess there's a little local tie into kind of all this national madness going on.
Well, my actual question in relation to Mark Pope, in relation to Kentucky, I got four names for you. I want you to tell me who the big winner is. Is it Calipari, I should say, going off to Arkansas? Is it Mark Pope going back to the alma mater at Kentucky? Is it Scott Drew getting the extension at Baylor? Or is it Dan Hurley at UConn? Who's the big winner from this Kentucky saga?
Well, I mean, Dan Hurley's just the big winner, period. and obviously just won it all, and he's very happy where he's at. It's interesting because I think I would have said, like, Kentucky was kind of a winner in that they wanted to move on from Calipari, but with a $33 million buyout, just couldn't justify it. And the fan base was kind of done with him, ready to move on. And even he himself said, like, in his parting video, like, time for a new voice there. The problem is what happened after that. they didn't quite get what they were hoping. And so now it's kind of like, wow, this is going to be an interesting experiment to see there. So I think just Dan Hurley in general is a winner right now. And I think Baylor as well, just kind of the ability for these programs that have become really good programs but don't have the historical cachet necessarily of Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke are able to hold on to these coaches just because they've become so comfortable there and are happy with what they have available to them that they don't need to go chase the biggest job. So I guess you can consider all of, honestly, it's a kind of a win-win for everybody. It'll be fascinating to see how the Arkansas situation goes. Like, is Cal going to kind of learn from what went wrong at Kentucky and continue to evolve, or is it kind of a blank slate to where, like, it's a new fan base, new administration can kind of go back to doing things his way. So that'll be just kind of one to track and see what Arkansas looks like now under Calipari.
Jacob Bedil is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Switching over to Husker basketball and Fred's recruitment in the transfer portal. Obviously a big one coming out next week in Frankie Fiddler, where he will go. Any word on him that you know of, Jacob? Any progression that Nebraska has made with Fiddler?
I know they did make a hard push for it. I honestly, like, I've kind of been lost on this one from the start. Like, I've gotten all kinds of signals from all over the place on this one that I kind of had a tough time making heads or tails of. So I legitimately do not know where he's going to announce on Monday. I know, again, Nebraska tried to make a late push for him. he was kind of hanging out with some of the guys over the weekend or whatever. And obviously now he made the trip up to Michigan State to kind of round out that trip. Been hearing some Omaha buzz, like trying to get him back, trying to get him to withdraw from the portal and just stay there. That's kind of the latest thing that's happened that I heard about. Who knows kind of where that leads. So, yeah, I'm about as lost as everybody at this point.
Jacob, a thought here on Griffiths from Rutgers. He's here this weekend. Also, John Yulee, the Oklahoma transfer. Are you feeling okay about Nebraska's prospects when it comes to the competition for both these guys?
Griffiths is tough. I didn't see him as a prospect at all. Mm-hmm. I know I was a top 50 recruit or whatever. I was very not impressed with anything I saw of him at Rutgers. And the numbers kind of to back that up. He was kind of pretty terrible as a freshman and certainly didn't look the part out there on the court just when I watched them play and then try to do things. So, like, that one.
Hey, I'm on your wavelength, Jacob.
Yeah, I guess I need to go back and watch the kind of pre-college tape just to see, all right, what kind of led to this ranking or whatever. And maybe it is just that. And it's tough for anybody to look good in Rutgers offense at this point. So I don't want to hold that too much against
him. So many Rutgers.
Double elbow off the top rope.
Jacob's going steel chair this afternoon. Yeah. I love it.
Could be one where he just better fit and he kind of is able to bring out the skill set that made him the recruit that he was. Yulee is especially after we'll see what happens with Reek Mass and all that, after adding Andrew Morgan. Yulee, again, seems like a guy that doesn't kind of add a whole lot different than what you already have there. So, like, and obviously they've already tried to recruit him once and kind of struck out that. Well, I mean, Nebraska has recruited him, what, this would be the third time because previous staff recruited him or he was recruited. I don't know. He visited Nebraska in high school, I know. And then obviously they recruited him last year when he went to transfer. And now, again, like, that's one I don't really yet. With what they have, but at this point, again, it's just a matter of they got to fill out scholarships and figure out, all right, which of these guys are legitimately interested in joining our program because they got six spots to fill still. So you don't necessarily want to rebuff anybody that shows legitimate interest, but I'm looking forward to kind of fast forwarding a few commits down the line to start to see what this picture looks like and when a few more to hold. So then you can see, all right, where might they go with these last couple spots? Cause right now, it just seems wide open.
Jacob, before we get you out, Andrew Morgan, you mentioned him. He's in the boat. Do you see him as a guy that plays next to Rink? Is that a guy who backs up Rink? What is your take on just how Morgan fits into this Nebraska basketball team?
I think he could play both. Like, he could play next to, he could play with. We saw them play a lot of Josiah Alec and Rink Mass together down the stretch of the season. And not the same skill set as Alec, but gives you a little bit more offensive polish there. And Mass has shown the ability to rebound at a pretty good rate. So you can see, like, those two playing well off of each other offensively. You're still lacking quite a bit in rim protection there. Like, that's the part that I don't love. But for stretches of the game, based on kind of what the other team is throwing out there, you can see them with Mass' ability to play out on the perimeter. You can run some high-low stuff with those two. Morgan's kind of a post-up guy who can also step out and knock down a three every game, every second or third game. Not a high-volume guy, but he's capable. So you can see those two definitely playing together offensively. And then I guess if you kind of put some more length around them, maybe you can make it work a little defensively depending on what the matchups are. So he's kind of a utility guy. I think that he can back up five, he can play next to Mass. He can play long minutes if you need him to. So I can see, like, at the initial, it didn't seem like he fit a lot of the needs that you would think in terms of rounding out the skill sets and the kind of body types in the front court, but they got a lot of spots to fill, and he's a good player, and you can use him in multiple ways. So I guess it's a good pickup for Nebraska, and now got to see how they round it out around those guys.
Jacob, have yourself a good weekend, man. Thanks for the time today.
Yep, thank you, Zeddy.
Hail Varsity Radio is live. Now, back to Schmitty.
Schmitty's a great guy, but he don't have a brain.
And Elijah.
You want me to speak?
When I point at you, yeah.
On Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff on the world of college basketball in Nebraska in the portal from Jacob Padilla. Didn't catch it or only got some of it. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, where you can go for the Hail Varsity podcast. We invite you to check it out on your time. Hail Varsity YouTube can watch us live and follow us on Hail Varsity Radio, Twitter at HVarsity Radio. Different platforms as well on social media, KFOR, Facebook, and Twitter. Our friends at AM 590 Omaha's ESPN, Central Nebraska Superstation with Duda and the crew, 1460, 1550, Kearney Hastings, Grand Island, and up at News Talk 900 in Columbus. Dion's a loyal streamer and appreciate his listenership. He checks in. How much does anyone think HH will be a big improved passer when these quarterbacks has personnel coaches their whole lives just to be good? So the question's fair, and I want to kind of jump off of it, Dion, and guys go around the roundtable. We'll get to some of the comments in the stream around the topic, but here's what I believe about Harburg. Out of high school, the guy had something that jumped off film to the Boston colleges and Colorado States and Nebraska eventually. His size, athleticism, explosiveness jumped off. Now, is he a guy that college coaches came in and said, well, we're going to start you at quarterback but move you to H-back, right, because you're that freak athlete? I think Harburg's a guy – and he talked about it, a week ago when he met with us, about the habits. He had certain habits he came into the program with. He gathered dust, not that he wasn't willing to work. Previous staff didn't work with him with what they wanted at quarterback. And in emergency situation where your dude from the portal came in and just was not able to cope with the magnitude of the job and take care of the football, Harper came in and won you five ball games, and he did it in a gritty throwback Nebraska way. From a passing standpoint, the guy made some plays. The consistency part is what he's working on. The mechanics part is still a work in progress, and I don't know where he's at in his football journey to the point of not reverting back to bad habits, throwing the football when it comes to accuracy. I know that's a work in progress, and I think it can get better the more you work at it. When push comes to shove, you've got guys that are in the building right now with Kalen and, of course, Raiola, that are just pure natural passers. And from an athleticism standpoint, are they the runner that Harburg is? Absolutely not, but they're not going to be asked to do that. So I think with Nebraska and what's the Harburg reality, I think he's a guy that can go in and win you some ball games. I don't think a guy, the way this offense is going, he's not going to be your choice. Now, it also comes down to more than just, all right, is he a guy that can complete a tough throw on third and eight opposed to a Raiola or opposed to a Kalen? Probably not. Who do the guys want to follow? I thought it was a huge point that Barnett made yesterday about you listen to your players and who do you follow? Who do the guys like? They like all of them, but who's going to go win us the ballgame? I think Harburg's an option, and I think he's got an ability to become a much better and competent passer. I think Nebraska will do that for him.
And one of the things we talked about through the winter months, especially whenever we were focused on will Nebraska bring in a transfer quarterback to come in here and be a guy that you can turn to should Raiola not be the guy that you expect him to be, or should you have an injury?
Is what you got ready.
Or is what, right? what you got ready. Like, that was a question we had, because what would that allow you to do? It would allow you to use Heinrich Harburg in more of a Taysom Hill-type role within this offense. That is one of the things we talked about a couple months ago on this show.
That's what we see, isn't it?
And one of the things that can be a benefit from Kalen coming in and by all accounts being ahead of schedule in terms of where you expected him to be, it can allow you to practice Heinrich Harburg to have his own specific role in this offense. Maybe you call him the quarterback three on the roster technically, but he's a guy that plays a hell of a lot more than that because you can use him like the Saints use Taysom Hill, which is a guy that you can have in the backfield that the defense has to respect the ability to throw while knowing that's not why Taysom Hill's in the game. Like, Taysom Hill's in the game for the Saints because he is a guy that can just run a quarterback dive. You have better numbers because you can get 10 guys blocking, and Taysom Hill can break forward for 5 to 7 yards on third and three. And you know what? There's that 1 in 10 chance that he's going to drop back and throw the ball, so you can't sell out and put 9 guys in the box. That's the uniqueness of Taysom Hill, not to mention the fact he's a dude on special teams, and he's a fantastic blocker. You can put him out there as a tight end if you want and make the defense start to think. That's what I wonder about with Henrik Harburg. Can he fulfill a type of role like that for Nebraska? Because Matt Rhule mentioned it yesterday, the fact that these quarterbacks coming in, like, when you see one guy do something, you understand, hey, if he can do that, I got to add that to my game. I got to figure out how to do that. I got to work on that. Not only is that between Kalen and Raiola, I think that's also with Harburg. Like, he's looking at it and saying, hey, I want to get on the field. I'm seeing the throws that Raiola and Kalen are seeing and making. I got to start making those throws if I want to be in this quarterback competition. So I think he's going to be improved as a passer, but I don't think that's what his role is within the team next year. I think if you have to turn to him, I think you want a guy that's good enough at throwing the football that you feel comfortable turning the offense over to him. But I think his true role within the offense, if everything goes to plan, is to be more of that Taysom Hill type.
It makes a ton of sense, fellas, where, and I'm not conceding the race for him. Keep giving her hell. Absolutely. But is there consistency there? And what's it going to take work-wise? How soon are you ready consistency-wise at throwing the football compared to what you're going up against? And I love the Taysom Hill or the Tim Tebow when he was a freshman at Florida. Give defenses a headache inside the 10.
I think we should replace the nickname of Double H or HH with UTL for Henrik Harburg, just because, like, okay, I'm in baseball mode right now, right? Mm-hmm. And when I see UTL, you play all over the field.
Yep.
I think Henrik Harburg is that guy because you have to respect the athleticism, as Elijah said. Obviously, the pass-catching element, I don't know what that would ever look like with Henrik Harburg, but obviously he can run. Oh, yeah, that's true. And he can run the ball effectively. He can get behind a blocker very well. He can pick up yards. He's physical. That was one of my favorite traits about him as a quarterback last year, is how physical he was when he ran the ball. He wasn't going to slide. He wasn't going to, you know, take a pop and immediately go down. He was going to fight off 2 to 3 guys every single time he got the football. So I love the physicality that Henrik Harburg brings to the table. Is his throwing talent, you know, at the top of the depth chart? No. But that's okay because, again, as both of you have said, just because you have a different role, you've been brought in as quarterback, doesn't mean you can't help the team win in other aspects. You can still have the ball in your hand. You don't have to be QB1 in order to help your team win games.
You don't even have to have the ball in your hand. Think about, from a defensive perspective, on 3rd and 3 inside the red zone, whenever Henrik Harburg marches onto the field, what does that do to a defense? Alarm bells are going off. That's the guy that played quarterback last year. We got to watch for him.
Zone read.
Yeah. And what happens whenever a defense is thinking? That means they're not playing fast or not reacting. Whenever a defense is thinking, you can just have the threat of Henrik Harburg in there on a third down, and now the defense is thinking instead of reacting because they're saying, what are they going to do with this guy? Why are they bringing him into the football game? The potential for what you can do with Harburg outside of a quarterback is great, and I'm kind of with Montana Husker fan here saying, even if he does have to come in and play true quarterback, you feel fine about what he's put on the field before. Is he the best guy you have? Probably
well,
not.
We don't know what the new Harburg looks like either as a thrower. We'll see 2 weeks from Saturday. That's the other side. I mean, it's not like he stopped his progress. He's still working. Meanwhile, you still have two young pups at quarterback that are major arm talents, and they've got it between the years as well. We'll wind down hour one with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
About 10 minutes away, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the Professor Bill Dolman going to join us, get his take on the fact that the Dogs and the Huskers have come together to hug it out, and there will be beer for the Maryland series.
Thank you, Connor Clark.
Connor Clark gets hired to do the Salt Dogs baseball. The next thing you know, pour me another one. And can we give you credit, aside from the Abels, because they're great people?
It would be wrong if I said yes, but the amount of flack I've caught from my friends over the last
day,
week.
Your first day. I need you to go see the owner in his office, please, taking credit.
Yeah, guys, it was me.
principal.
Well, I saw some guy on Twitter like, why are the Salt Dogs announcing a new broadcast partner? We'll focus on getting beer for us. I'm like, hey, let's give Connor his shine here.
Connor is the Bud Heavy Connor Mule.
Connor has nothing to do with this unless they get it. I'll give Connor all the credit.
My favorite part of all of that, and I just thought this was hilarious because I knew it had to do with whatever, like that whole deal that was going on or mm-hmm. whatever. And I sent this to a bunch of my friends back home. It was the screenshot of the press release, like getting announced that they were hiring me. And then the first comment underneath was sell the team.
Wow.
I was like, wow. So I thought that was kind of funny in a sarcastic way, mm-hmm. obviously. But I'm glad that that whole thing is resolved and everybody can be happy. Yay.
Well, and we'll get Bill's take on it. But good work. I mean, athletic director Dannon mm-hmm. moved quickly on this. And everyone's got a number. And what was the number that was going to make this work for the Dogs? And the number wasn't 90-10 with the university.
No.
It wasn't 50-50 with the university.
It wasn't either.
No, it wasn't. So this thing is going to be voted on here the 19th, and you'll have taps pulled forward for the 20th.
In my read, based on the fact that the number was not announced, is that the Salt Dogs probably won this conversation, mm-hmm. if you will. There was no number that was announced along with this, but I'd venture to say the Salt Dogs, it's closer to their number than the Huskers' 50-50 split. All that really doesn't matter for us, the general person.
It's an amenity versus a revenue stream.
What matters is, Schmitty, at some point this spring, you, me, and Jabba, and okay. Connor, if you want to join too, the 9 beer, 9 dog.
I've been dying to do this.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Not 9 cornhead lagers, 9 beautiful Fairbury brand hot dogs.
Okay, I don't know about that part, but.
You freaking would, Chicago kids. No,
that
all
would
of
just,
you and
that
your,
would just hurt my insides.
I will put,
inside.
I will so put ketchup on all of your hot dogs.
It's not a Fairbury thing, it's a hot dog thing.
That much red dye in my digestive system, I don't know if I can handle
it's
that.
It's not red dye, it's natural.
No, it's
that's
fine.
That's the natural color of hot dogs.
The funny story I have about the Fairberries is the first time
they're incredible.
My dad came into town for a baseball game.
Son,
and
what the hell's
and
up
he
the
bought dog? A hot dog and he opened it and he's like, what is this?
What is
like, why is the bun stained red? Like, what is going on here? And I'm like, yeah, that's how they do it out here now. So I thought that was hilarious.
That's a great story from my cousin who had a similar experience. It was at a restaurant, though, that was serving Fairbury dogs, and he's like, what's wrong with this hot dog? And it should be noted that his parents were both vegetarians, so not only was he not getting real hot dogs, he was getting veggie dogs.
Oh, my God.
And so he, like, asked the waitress, he's like, what's wrong with this hot dog? And she goes, what do your hot dogs normally look like? And he goes, they're
not
usually a lot more beige. And she goes, honey, you're eating the wrong hot dogs.
That's it. So when Dad took a bite, you've taken a bite, you're like, oh, this is gold. This is great.
No, they taste good, I mm-hmm. think, but it just you got to get over the mental hump of, like, what am I looking at right now if you've never seen one before? Bill
Connor
will
Clark.
Kill me for saying that.
You're, elitist hot dog
takes. You're staying another year. Every Chicago kid we've had here in the show, well, you and your hot dogs. We'll get to Bill Dolman. Hail Varsity, Hour 2, powered by Cornhead Lager.
He's the pride of Fairbury, an average Joe. Bill Dolman, the professor.
I had a 6 ACT in 1967. One time I got an A and my grandma beat me for cheating.
Now with Hail Varsity Radio.
He is back to kick off Hour 2. It's the pride of Fairbury. It's NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, the professor. At Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, we've got a ton to talk about. But are you in as we are rounding up options and partners here for the 9 beer, 9 dog challenge at either Husker or Salt Dog game this summer?
Well, I think we got to go with the Huskers just because they're the ones that have added beer.
Okay, sure. I like it.
But the Salt Dogs have been pioneering beer at Haymarket Park for the last 2+ decades. So I think you give the nod to whatever the Salt Dogs want to serve. Now, my question is, are they serving beer or are they going to serve Guinness? Because there's a very different thing there. Or is there going to be like an homage to, you know, old days of, you know, Rosenblatt Stadium in Omaha where maybe you get a nice cool Falstaff and Schlitz for your beers? What will the offerings be?
As long as they have Cornhead Lager, I'm a happy camper.
Okay. Yeah,
Bill,
of course.
I'll put it a Guinness word for you this summer.
Hail Varsity is powered by Cornhead Lager.
Well, without a doubt. That's the first option.
You'll never have a better beer at the ballpark.
Here's the thing, though. Could you stick to your guns for this nine-dog, nine-beer challenge?
In nine innings, by the way.
Nine innings. Thank you.
Could you do
Guinness? Could you do nine Guinnesses with nine hot dogs?
Oh my God!
And serve.
That sounds horrendous.
No, I love it. Look, I love it, but I like to savor it. So no, that would not probably happen. But I would be happy to go to the ballpark and have a Cornhead Lager.
Okay. Could you do nine though? I don't know that this is doable.
You know me. You know me. No.
Well, think about it. You go to the game last Friday, and that was, I believe, game time was 2 hours and 6 minutes. Now, granted, it was a 3-0 final.
Nine beers and two hot dogs.
In 2 hours.
That's awesome.
Just think about
this. That's a good Saturday.
But before you get in too deep, I just want you to think about anything that could happen. It could be 2 hours.
You're longer in the can than you are at the ball game.
Yeah.
Basically, what Connor is saying here is if that game time is what you're working with max 20 minutes an inning, minimum probably about 12 to 15 minutes.
And the rule is you can't double up in one inning.
No, you can't.
You have to go one per. You can't just like load up in the first inning just to have a break.
Oh.
You have to go...
It has to be one beer each inning. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And you have probably 15 to 20 minutes in each inning. So that's the question is it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. I could do this marathon.
Okay. Is there going to be like a Haymarket Park hooscow? Because things are going to get out of control at some point. And then is there going to be like a new taxi cab or Uber service just designated solely for people who should not be drinking and driving, right?
The ambulance.
You don't want anybody getting in trouble
with this promotion, all right?
Look, it's Elijah. He's in left field.
Where is his shirt?
he's reenacting Will Ferrell.
Well, I will say maybe we can even get some listeners involved, and we can get a whole section of people doing the nine inning challenge.
Can we get that area?
Is there teamwork involved? I mean, or is it every man and nine woman for themselves?
I mean, if you're doing it with a bunch of people, like my friend group, it's every man for himself. You're not teaming up with anybody.
Yeah. See, okay. I'm thinking we got to have some. We got to have some signing of some legal papers. If you're going to enter, you promise to get an Uber and stay off the streets and not get yourself in trouble. Okay.
Sure.
So good on Nebraska and the Salt Dogs and everybody coming together so that folks can have a little more fun at the ballpark, and you know, beer and baseball certainly go together. And you know, look, Haymarket Park has been one of the most wonderful additions to the capital city in the last 2 decades. And without Haymarket Park, the Haymarket area, Pinnacle Bank Arena, and all that's going on downtown that has made Lincoln one of the crown jewel cities in the country, really. Without Haymarket Park and Jim Abel's vision, that's not happening. Maybe it would, but what Lincoln's got going on downtown right now.
It's a great setup.
I mean, that is by far, you know, the vision of Jim Abel, Charlie Meyer, and the powers at the university and within the city at that time, when they bought into what Jim Abel wanted to do for the city of Lincoln and bringing baseball back and giving people something to do in the summer and partnering up to give Nebraska baseball one of the crown jewel college ballparks still 20 plus years later. I mean, that was a stroke of visionary genius. And I say that as somebody who, you know, once held the position that Connor has been bestowed.
As you feel honored or disgusted by that?
But look, I really respect the Abel family and Jim and what they wanted to do. And they wanted to do it for the right reasons and not because they wanted a bunch of pats on the back and people to talk about them. They've always been behind the scenes. So I'm glad this little tiff has gotten put aside and people will enjoy the weekend. It's going to be great weather for baseball and a couple of beers.
Well, Vic in Denver is planning on bringing the RV. There's been suggestions in the stream, Hail Varsity YouTube, like and subscribe. So we're on video there. they want us to buy a whole section out. And there's that one section, I think, in right center that where you
the party home run porch.
Yeah, the home run porch. Thank you.
They stick us, the students out there, for half of that is for students.
So
which
this is the perfect spot for the nine beer.
Are you
going to
pull
challenge?
A Harry Carey and do a game this summer from the bleachers or from the berm or from the party deck? I think you should. Harry'd be shirtless and out in the left field area.
If we have the right power set up, maybe.
As a producer of the Salt Dogs, this sounds like a nightmare waiting to happen for me here in the studio.
But it sounds like a good time for me. So, hey,
Potter's been knocked out and Joe's on the headset.
It's Elijah Herbal back here in the studio as Connor is six beers into the nine beer, nine inning challenge. We have lost Connor.
Bill, let's talk quarterback here. Some good discussion earlier in hour one, and a lot of the folks in the stream, we were talking about Harburg and what's realistic for him. Really good story from Adam Rittenberg with Matt Rhule yesterday as he was at the media session, and you treat them all like fourth rounders. Is kind of the takeaway. There's no special treatment, and they all got here. That's the premise, so work with them, get them better. We're talking about Harburg with the talent, the toughness, the athleticism, and you know what's realistic as far as him continuing to work on his throwing. We just don't know, right? We don't know how good a thrower Harburg can be, whether it be in a backup role, in a Taysom Hill role, or as a starter. Now, I wanted to get your take here. I think he's a guy, if he puts his mind to something, I'm not saying he's going to win the job, but I think he's going to be, he was competent last year. I think he could be good when called upon as a thrower if he keeps working at it to go along with everything else he brought to the table.
Well, first of all, good on him for his loyalty to dear old Nebraska U, right? He was a really good what's Kearney Catholic, Class C1 quarterback, and probably on par with the best quarterbacks in Omaha that year that he came out. But he could have very easily, after that first year or two that he was with Scott Frost and Mark Whipple and company, just said, nobody cares, right? That was the famous story last year, was he wasn't even in the quarterback meetings, hardly practiced. But yet he had a certain loyalty and a belief in Matt Rhule that, you know, whatever they were telling him, he believed him, and they came through on it. Now, I said this a long time ago on the Average Joe Sports Show, where did we first see Heinrich Harburg last year? Tight end H-back. Mm-hmm. And I still think that's his future. And maybe he knows that. Maybe he knows that if I'm going to go make some money at the next level, I do need to work on that position. And we talk about Taysom Hill so much that it's become cliche with Heinrich Harburg, you know. But I think that he's got coaching now. They've got a quarterback's coach. So maybe we're going to see a market improvement in him. We know that he's tough. He's got experience more so than the two kids. Mm-hmm. So he does have that going for him. But good on him for sticking around, believing in what Matt Rhule was telling him, taking advantage of the opportunities that he had last year. And maybe with a QB coach, we will see a different quarterback next year. But I still think that while he may play some quarterback in college, he has the potential to play a lot of H-back in the NFL. And I think that's, if he is not set on quarterback and he swallows his pride and understands that, he'll be a rich man someday.
Is the goal for you, Bill, through this summer training regimen, for Heinrich Harburg to become a better thrower of the football or to become a better all-around football player? And I think you know what I mean. Like, is it about Heinrich Harburg? Does he need to improve the throwing motion to get on the field, or does he need to improve on being a do-it-all kind of guy to get on the field?
Well, I think as his career goes on, it's the latter, right? Because if he is going to be that sort of dual threat for whatever that is in the NFL, and there aren't many guys like that I can even think of. Hill's the one that everybody talks about, right? But if he's going to have that role in the NFL, as great of an athlete as he is, with the size that he has, and obviously the toughness that he showed last year, if he's going to be that player that they utilize as the number three reserve quarterback, a number two tight end, and a number one H-back, eventually he is going to have to get to be a much better thrower, right? The way he threw the ball last year is not, that's not going to be good enough. I mean, he's going to be a strict H-back tight end. But I think over time with coaching, he's going to be a valuable guy to be in there to throw the football around. He might be on the field at the same time with one of the other two guys and still be called upon to throw the ball.
I kind of want to steal a point that Elijah made earlier, so I'm going to give you credit for this, Elijah. The threat of just having him out on the field, not necessarily having the ball in his hands, I mean, how much do you think that would make a defense work, assuming it's a Raiola or a Kalen starting, just having him out there on, say, a third and five and he's in the slot? Like, does that, in your mind, make the defense think a little bit more? Does that screw them up a little bit? How does that work?
I think it definitely is a he's almost like his own triple option, right? He can throw the ball adequately. I think he can probably catch the ball. I think he had a couple of receptions last year. I would imagine that you might be able to put him in the slot and run the ball with him, right? Maybe on some type of a reverse or some type of elongated sweep. But also add another with his size. And what is he? 6'5", 225.
And he can fly.
And he's tough. I mean, he can block. So you have somebody that it's not just that he can go out there and throw some and catch some. I think he can run the football and could be an effective, you know, guy on the other side of an option pitch. And he might be better catching an option pitch than he was at delivering one. But I also think when you're talking about getting somebody downfield to block a linebacker or punish a defensive back, given his size and speed, I think he has a lot of weapons and a lot of uses that you have to be cognizant of where he is on the field and what he might do. Even if it is, like I say, as a decoy and a guy who's going to block a linebacker, seal off a defensive end, I think that he brings a lot to the table that, I mean, I hope he doesn't have his heart set. Remember Eric Crouch so many years ago that I'm going to be a quarterback in the NFL. That's all he wanted to be, and eventually they kind of talked him into being a wide receiver, and it was kind of a half-hearted attempt. But or Tim Tebow is another example of that. But I think if Heinrich Harburg understands the long-term possibilities for his career, he brings a lot to the table in the immediate, in one single play, as well as what he could do in his career.
Bill, we've talked quarterback. We have talked the nine-dog, nine-beer, nine-inning challenge. The next challenge is, where are we going to...
It's all the hot topics in sports.
Are we going to figure out a way to glean a little bit of the scrimmage? Is there a parking garage area that, or a secret viewing area with all your years with Nebraska to get Saturday morning checked out?
Okay, you do realize that with the largest staff in college football, that there are those who do have sniper skills. So there will be people on top of the press box, just like they're positioned at the White House, that if there is anything coming into the
flight
pattern.
So no ball in the front yard?
I'm pretty sure that Matt Rhule and company has it taken care of. There ain't nobody going to see what's going on the scrimmages. Unless you're like me when I was back in school and I had the high-tech responsibility with Big Ben Boyle, my buddy out of York. We would be called upon on Friday afternoons. I think I've told you this story
to
before.
To get Devaney ice?
To bring the that was another one, too. That's for us, Hail Varsity After Dark. So we would be called upon on Friday afternoons to take this cassette recorder, and for you Gen Zers, look it up. We would take this cassette player and go up to the press box, and we had a cassette recorder, or a cassette of recordings of like a high school football crowd noise. And then we took a microphone, and then we would point it toward the speaker on the cassette player, and we would just hit play. And you'd hear, throw the ball, crowd noise, like before the Oklahoma game or the Colorado game. And one time, after doing this for several years, security comes up and is going to usher me out of the press box.
Oh, no.
And there's two armed security guards that come up there and say, you got to get out of here. And I said, okay, that's fine. But when the tape runs out after 5 minutes, you got to rewind it and hit play and just make sure the microphone is pointed. But I'm gone. The guy looks at it and I go, yeah, I'm the crowd noise in the stadium. And he goes, we'll be right back. And they let me stay. And of course, then we went on to win some national championships, but that's another part of history. That.
Love Bill's contributions.
Do you think if Bill wasn't up there running that, do you think Nebraska would have won the national championships? Really makes you wonder.
There's too many parallels with the Pride of Fairbury.
But it was funny. Yeah, we need you to go do crowd noise in the stadium. So, you know, that was part of the job.
Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, we'll see you soon. Thanks again.
I thought we were going to have a lesson on Fairbury brand hot dogs, but I guess we'll save that for another time.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Tim Verghese with us from Nebraska Rivals. At Tim Verghese is where you find him on Twitter. Busy weekend recruiting-wise. Tim, it's been a busy spring for Nebraska recruiting-wise. Start there, and Rule touched on it, I think, last week when he met with the media. Just kind of talking about the showcase he wants to provide, not just your big days, your game days, or even your spring games, but Tim, pretty big emphasis on Rule to get kids in the thick of it, right? During practice time.
Yeah. You heard the comments from him about how important practice is for him and showcasing practice, and you're even seeing it in action. For example, just this week alone, John Mills and Adonis Curry, two prospects, both out of California that Nebraska's on. Curry's a four-star cornerback, and Mills is a three-star offensive lineman. Both of them are scheduled to be in town for the spring game, April 27th, but they both decided to come up this week to come see practice. So they spent their own money out of their own pocket, came up just 2 weeks before their official visit to come see Nebraska. That says a lot kind of about where Nebraska's priority, kind of says a lot about how those two guys feel about Nebraska, but it also says a lot about how much Nebraska is emphasizing those practices. Talking to guys, like guys that have been at practice, like Caden Vermas, like the commits, some of the targets as well, like Bryson Hayes and some of the others, just regardless of who you talk to, like the one thing that stands out for them is the amount of reps. They're like, no one's standing around. Everyone's getting reps. They're like, the walk-ons are getting the same amount of reps as the starters. And that matters a lot. You ask guys, like one of my favorite things to do is talk to guys and figure out like what they're going through on these visits and mentally, like, what kind of boxes they're checking. The number one thing everyone's looking for is development. And everyone knows the best way to get developed is reps. And no one's getting more reps than Nebraska. Like it's Georgia, it's Bama, and then it's Nebraska. Like no one's getting reps like they are at Nebraska practices right now. And you think about the number of reps these guys are doing, and you're seeing how it's paying off for, they talked about it this week with the quarterbacks, Dylan and Daniel are calling their own checks at the line and like flipping protections and things. That just comes with time and experience and knowledge of the playbook. And those two are doing it as true freshmen in their first spring on campus.
Tim Verghese with us here on Hail Varsity Radio talking some recruiting. Nebraska having people visiting campus for practice this weekend, coming up for the spring game as well. And Tim, as we take a look at some of these guys that are getting a chance to see practice, that's a lot of guys in the 500-mile radius, the 300-mile radius, guys within the state of Nebraska. Take me through a couple of those guys. I know you got a chance to see Pierce Mooberry last weekend. You also have Christian Jones, his recruitment's heating up. Chase Lofton's the tight end from Millard South, that his recruitment's beginning to heat up as well ahead of his senior year. Take me through a couple of the in-state guys that you like and a couple of guys that you think have a big couple of weeks coming up in terms of recruiting.
Yeah, so obviously Nebraska's got three commits right now in the class, all in-state, and they're still after a couple more in-state guys. Christian Jones is probably the number one. I answered it in a mailbag this week. Christian Jones, probably the number one must-get target. That's a top 60 guy in the country per Rivals, a top five linebacker in the country, and a guy that, at least from the rankings perspective, Nebraska can't really afford to miss on. You can't let a guy of this caliber with this level of athleticism leave the state. Nebraska's done a good job there, but they're battling, some top schools. USC had him on campus recently. They kind of impressed him. Obviously, there's a new defensive coaching staff over there. The academic opportunities at USC, plus just the getting to sit down with some of the defensive staff, kind of opened his eyes to some of the opportunities out there. I will say a positive for Nebraska there. Notre Dame is kind of seen as the biggest threat to the Huskers in this recruitment, and they are fading just in terms of talking to him and kind of the way he's talking about the schools in it for him right now, Notre Dame seems to be fading a little bit, which does bode well for the Huskers. This is far from done. I mean, Tennessee's in there, a couple other national SEC programs in there too, all trying to, you know, work in there. Wisconsin, a couple others trying to work in there. That's a situation with Jones, but ultimately I think Nebraska has a good shot of, you know, winning out there. Just him being a regional prospect at a position of need. Rob Dvoracek's done a really good job just establishing and maintaining that relationship. You know, you want to get him back on campus a couple times this spring and summer, but, you know, I feel good about where Nebraska is. It just kind of depends on, you know, his timeline and ultimately what he's looking for. Chase Lofton, that's another one kind of exploding into a national recruit. He's in Florida this weekend. He's at Florida State today, I believe, and then Miami tomorrow, and then he'll fly back to Lincoln. I'm catching up with him to just recap this big stretch of visits for him. He's turned into a bit of a national recruit as well. Ever since Colin Klein, former Kansas State quarterback and Kansas State offense coordinator, is now the offense coordinator at Texas A&M. He's made him a priority since getting to College Station. They had him down in town last weekend, and you know, they made a pretty big impact over there. So a couple of those programs kind of working for him as well. That's another one. You know, Nebraska's actually got two in-state tight ends they're working on. They're working on him, and they're working on Reiman Ziebert from and Reiman was in town this past weekend, or this past week, actually yesterday. That's a guy that, you know, I went back and was watching the film a little bit these last 2 weeks, and you know, Chase is the guy that everyone knows, and Chase is kind of like the national prospect. But man, Nebraska's kind of made a known Reiman, like, hey, we want you. We, like, you know, you're like, you've got a committable offer, like, and then he's planning to return for an OV in the summer. He's got planning to probably come back for the spring game as well. So multiple visits for him lined up. He's a guy that's more of a developmental tight end compared to Chase. Chase is kind of, you know, probably closer to being ready to play at the D1 level than Reiman is. Reiman's going to need a year and a half in the weight room or so. But both those guys really talented, and I think Reiman's a guy that you're going to see kind of earn some buzz just these next couple of months as people kind of realize what he can be.
Tim Vergese with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Tim, of course, with Nebraska Rivals, at Tim Vergese. Give him a follow for all your recruiting needs on Twitter. You look at just the number of in-state prospects that's continued to grow, Tim, in the state of Nebraska, and it's been The state border is well, invisible. It's not that Nebraska under rule has not made it the priority. They have, and they've won a lot of those battles. But this Nebraska staff doesn't take the Nebraska kids for granted. And we're seeing a generation of Nebraska in-state standouts that haven't seen Nebraska at their peak. How big a battle is that for Rule? What's to come, not just selling the hope, but his vision. And I think he does a great job of communicating that. But just your feel overall, how many of these in-state kids what dream of going to Nebraska?
I think it's still like a dream for a lot of guys, especially, you know, you're starting to see it too with some of the young guys that are coming up. I mean, like they've got offers to 26 and 27 prospects out in Omaha Central. And pretty much every time we've been at practice these last couple of weeks, I'm seeing an Omaha Central staffer or an Omaha Central player walking out of practice. Like they offered 2027 running back Kylan Haney mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, and he's been at practice at least once a week. And he's going to be at on campus twice a week, twice this week alone. But he's been on campus pretty much once a week since spring started. And it's a short trip for him, and Nebraska's kind of made it clear he's a priority. You know, I think Nebraska still means a lot. It's still home for a lot of these guys. You know, it maybe doesn't mean what it probably used to like 20 years ago, but it's still a factor for them. Again, like you're saying, like schools aren't afraid to come into Nebraska necessarily and offer guys because they think they'll have a chance, you know, like even guys right on the border, Kansas and Kansas State, they're in the state pretty frequently, you know, offering guys and trying to establish a presence down here. You're going to see more. I'll say this, you know, just from when I was covering the program as an intern, when I was in college to where you know, going out to Warren Academy and going out to some of these high schools and just seeing the talent that's coming up. The other part of this too is the talent in the state right now is better than it was like 5 years ago. And it's only going to keep getting better. 27, 28, 29 classes, it's guys coming up. It's multiple. Like, I think there's a chance Nebraska might not have to go out of state for a quarterback for the next couple of cycles if they really don't want to. You know, you're looking in 2026, you've got Will Anderson coming up at Bellevue West. That's a guy. And a couple others too in 26 that at the quarterback position. 2027, you've got Braylon Warren, the son of Steve Warren, who founded Warren Academy, of course. He's going to be the starter at Westside this fall. He's competing for the job at Westside and, you know, has a very good chance to be the guy there. But both those guys have traits to be D1 level quarterbacks, you know. And so, you know, like a couple of years ago, it would have been almost unheard of for Nebraska to not go out of state for like 3-4 straight cycles for a quarterback. That might be reality. You know, like we might look at this 5-6 years down the line, look back and be like, man, Nebraska 3 straight years just landed an in-state quarterback and just kept that train rolling.
Jackson Carpenter, how thick is the battle between Nebraska and Kansas? I know North Dakota State. Where are things with Jackson?
That one's interesting. That one is interesting because Kansas and Nebraska are actually locked into a recruiting battle for Carpenter and Bryson Hayes, the speedy receiver out of Mays, Kansas. You know, Hayes was back on campus 2 weeks ago. Carpenter was back on campus this past week, and Carpenter's scheduled to return for an official visit now in June after this last visit went well. That one, I'll be honest, the one question for me there that I'm waiting to see is between those two guys, is that a who takes the spot first type situation at Nebraska, or is that a we're going to take both of these guys type situation? Because I've heard positive things in Nebraska's favor in both recruitments. You know, I think both of them are closing in on decisions within the coming weeks and months and are getting closer to, I'd say for both of them, by far and away, the top two programs in both recruitments are Nebraska and Kansas. And so ultimately, I feel like it'll just come down to whichever commits first, we'll get a feel from there kind of how much Nebraska's talking to the other one and, you know, whether Kansas picks up the pursuit of the other one or, you know, maybe they just take both. That's one that's a little unclear right now, just because of where the wide receiver, they don't have a single wide receiver commit right now. Hayes is the number one, like, slot target. Carpenter's taller than Hayes, similar speed. They envision him to play a similar role in the offense. But outside of those two guys, you look at the receiver board, they're really in it for like a bunch of like 6'3", 6'4", like bigger receivers, and talking to, you know, just sources and people around, and you just look at the offer list as well, they're trying to get bigger and faster at the position. So they're not going to take a whole lot of these like small shifty guys anymore. They're looking for speed and they're looking for size, because at the Big Ten level, you're dealing with all these bigger cornerbacks, these bigger DBs, and this more physical style of play where like they need wide receivers that have the size to be able to block.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Tim Verghese with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, talking some recruiting thoughts. And Tim, before we get you out, I'm going to shift gears from recruiting and ask you about the Masters. Are you following anyone this weekend? Do you have any bets down at the War Horse? What's the game plan for Tim in the Masters this weekend? Are you more of a UFC guy? Tell me about the upcoming weekend here.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think definitely more of a UFC guy. I think I'll have the Masters on, you know, in the background. For me, it's always been just like background. I'm not rooting for anybody, but it's always just been like something to have on in the background. Definitely more of a UFC guy this weekend, rooting for my guy Pereira, and you know, got a lot happening this weekend. I'm a big in UFC. I'm a big Izzy guy, so the Izzy Pereira fight was, you know, interesting for me, But outside of that, you know, just tuned in to definitely tomorrow for the UFC stuff. But outside of that, man, I'm kind of taking it a bit slower this weekend for sure. Kind of enjoying the slow weekend.
Which current Husker do you think would stand the best chance in the Octagon, MMA, UFC? Which one do you think's got a future there?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like Malachi just because of the reach and the athleticism.
Yep.
I like him there. I'm trying to think. Is there a linebacker? I feel like Prince Will. Prince Will?
Yeah.
Prince Will? Just like a twitchy, lengthy edge rusher. Like, you know, I feel like he'd have some success there. He's also got, you know, like that mean streak to him. You know, he's a little feisty.
How about Polar Bear? I think those two. Polar Bear making the transition from wrestling to the octagon. Wouldn't he kill people?
Yes, of course.
Polar Bear versus John Jones would be one for the ages.
I'd have to see how he strikes and how he works, you know, like, you know.
He just choke you out, man. Well, good. Tim, you have a good weekend. Appreciate the recruiting update. Tim Verghese with Nebraska Rivals. And check him out on Twitter and check him out with Rivals. Thanks again. Good to hear from Tim. We are winding down a Friday. Todd emails in, I could totally do the nine dog, nine inning, nine beer challenge. Just wondering if his backside could hold up.
Yes, that's the thing. Is you on its face, you go, how bad could it be? And there's the time restraints and then the effects it'll have on your gut the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. This is not a challenge for the week.
Let us go to Klausberg. Let's do a little music here. We don't really have any forecasting other than some thoughts and commentary. We'll forecast a little bit of Masters. We welcome in. He's imaginary. He wears red. The infamous Klausberg. Klaus, how's your weekend? Thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, I'm looking forward to a nice, relaxing weekend. I think I might be able to get out and do a little fishing. And unfortunately, we've got some duties ahead of that, and that's why I'm here. But I'll be on the lake before long.
Claus, a lot going on this week. Are you going to put on or trade in that red jacket for a green jacket Sunday? Who's got your attention in Augusta?
Well, I'll be honest, so far I haven't been able to watch a whole lot of the tournament. Caught a little bit of the highlights last night, and my only takeaway from that is I think Tiger Woods might be on the Barry Bonds plan.
Oh, wow.
I think he might have walked away from Nike because they couldn't afford to make hats big enough for him. But then again, I talked to some local duffers, and they say that the only performance enhancer you really need in golf is Michelob Ultra, so...
Vodka lemonades, too.
They refer to it as aiming fluid, so I'll take their word for it.
Aiming juice is big. Claus, how about you, though? When we get to the nine dog, nine beer, nine inning challenge, would you be up for it?
Well, of all the former big figures in Nebraska sports history, I think we all know the only one who could take that down would be Bob Devaney, possibly Connie Yori, but definitely not me. If I attempted it, I'd be more delirious than Conan O'Brien at the end of Hot Ones on yesterday's episode. So
that was rough.
I don't think we really need to try that.
How would Carl fare at nine beers, nine dogs, nine innings?
He'd have it done before they played the national anthem, so...
Claus, we appreciate your input and spending time with you on a Friday forecast. Did you have OJ passing away in April forecasted?
Well, I certainly didn't. And, of course, that was shocking news to everybody that he finally passed away yesterday, or I guess pancreatic cancer finally found the real killer.
Jesus. You're not wrong.
I had heard the announcement said that he was surrounded by his friends and family. And, of course, I also heard that his old friend, Al Cowlings, wanted to help out the family. So he called him up and offered the insight that he already knew how to drive him around slowly in the back of a car. So,
oh, whoa.
One last thing.
Oh, they got the procession all handled.
But I also read somewhere that OJ might possibly be able to come back if the casket doesn't fit in the hole in the ground. So I guess we probably better wait a few days.
That is the rumor.
Oh, man.
AC is the funeral procession.
Well, here I was thinking that we needed to have Norm MacDonald on a day like yesterday. We just
absolutely
needed Claus.
Always need Norm.
We just needed Claus.
Claus, you okay?
Uh-oh.
The phone there, you know. from Clausburn there. You know, he's a guy, he doesn't know how to run, you know. And, you know, so I took it there. But yesterday, the best day of my death.
A Norm MacDonald impression, too?
Yeah, we got Norm on the phone.
He's imaginary.
Sorry about that. We've got some house guests for the weekend that are a little bit uncouth, so I apologize.
I like
the
that.
The multi-talented facet of Clausburn. We haven't heard that before.
Good work. Claus, what do you got going this weekend before we say goodbye?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm going to try to hit the lake. I've decided to take the sleigh down to Texas this weekend and take in a NASCAR race. And I view that kind of like most people view going to the zoo. I'm just going to see who throws feces around first.
Yes.
It's kind of like going to the zoo.
See who throws feces around first. That is, I like NASCAR, Claus. You need to do that.
Oh, man.
Claus, you duck and cover, okay?
I always do, Christopher. I always do.
Oh, Claus, you take care. We appreciate you.
Okay.
There he goes. Claus.
We don't deserve him.
No,
off,
we don't.
Off to NASCAR. That's so good.
I do want. I want to see.
Kind of like going to the zoo.
I want to see a NASCAR race bad, but Claus may have persuaded me out of it. I wanted to go see NASCAR in Chicago.
Oh, that's funny. We will wind down to Friday. It's Hail Varsity, and we're powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, podcast the show, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play with Hail Varsity. If you miss Clausburn, he's imaginary and wears red. Must listen to there. The YouTube channel, Hail Varsity YouTube. Be sure to subscribe and like that. Catch us on the different platforms. Tuck with the show title suggestion, Duck and Cover. And Claus had some examples / similarities between NASCAR and going to the zoo. Elijah, you pulled up a Inside Edition segment during the break of the smoking chimp in North Korea.
Yeah, there's
that's hilarious.
There's a chimp at a zoo in North Korea that has somehow developed an addiction to smoking cigarettes. Smokes a pack a day.
The trainer throws this chimp a lighter, and the chimp just starts
puffing away,
nailing heaters.
Yeah,
that's absurd. That's absurd for a human.
And the chimp's 20 years old.
Wow.
Let it be known, you'll see a lot of 20-year-olds smoking a pack a day at NASCAR races, too, so Claus isn't too far off. Yeah. The zoo?
I'm not one of them. I'm gonna hold my innocence for as long as I can.
Good.
I'm not one of them.
Connor, are you planning on... I guess you probably wouldn't be. I was going to ask if you're planning on going to the NASCAR race in Chicago this summer.
No. Even if I was available, I probably wouldn't go.
It sounds like a good time.
Is it the street race again?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe I would go check it out.
It's a street race through the
Millennium
South
Park
area of downtown Chicago.
Yeah, I would probably go check that out if I had time.
And they have like a music festival going on concurrently too. So they have like the Black Keys are performing and Jason Aldean. Who is it?
Don't know.
It's one of the country artists. I'm not a big country guy, as you can tell.
What would you go see like? A Grand Prix?
Like Formula One?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The price is what kills me on those.
Because the Vegas was super expensive, wasn't it?
Vegas isn't the one I'd go hit. I'd probably go hit the one down in Texas at the Circuit of the Americas.
Elijah would go to Monaco.
No, the one at the Circuit of the Americas is actually a really interesting course for F1 cars. My roommate's a much bigger Formula One guy than myself.
Goose.
I think it's very interesting. I'd go check it out if the price is right.
Does Chris smoke? No, I do not. I just I have really bad lungs. So no, I don't smoke. You just
give Chris a cigarette and he might die.
Yeah, yeah.
And quite frankly, Monday through Saturday, Elijah always has one. So does Connor for me. I mean,
yeah.
I'll never forget our trip out to Boulder, not for the Boulder Peace Treaty, but for Schmitty with his asthma machine that was helping you at the high altitude at. Was it 3 a.m?
Oh no!
As Schmitty's doing his it looks like you're smoking. Honestly,
it's nicknamed the Electro Bong.
Yeah, it definitely has that feel because Schmitty's just like puffing fat clouds at 3 a.m. while I'm trying to sleep in our hotel room.
I'm like trying to envision this happening right now, and
it's a nebulizer. Yeah, and I went through 3 of them in Ireland. The one I showed up with, busted.
Oh.
The one I left with, busted. And then the one I had to purchase when I got back here.
Are they expensive?
They used to be. They're about $100 now.
Okay. Not awful. So,
Steven gets us out by saying, don't be late in the morning.
Yeah, we'll work on that. 7:45, weekend edition. 7:45, weekend edition. Watch it on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. You had a day party tomorrow?
Apparently, it's not set in stone yet, but it's going to be 80, it's going to be sunny, and we're a bunch of college kids, so things are lining up.
I'll be there before my baseball game.
You have a quality air warning in Lincoln. Thank you, Kansas and Oklahoma. Back tomorrow at 7:45. Thanks.